Every day during the season, we'll give you a heaping help in a baseball conversation. It's a segment that we'll call the Daily Pickle.
I am in a pickle.
We actually get to say that on the radio.
An exclusive presentation of The Rob Dibble Show.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I don't believe it, and I'm seeing it. I haven't seen anything like this.
All right, we're back on The Rob Dibble Show.
The Ben
Darnell. Yeah, we hit the panic button a couple months ago on the New York Yankees. John Gallo, Kirk Kaplan, and, the Daily Pickle is really not about the team. The team is playing, I think, as good as they can play on most days. They're overmatched by other teams that fundamentally can play better defense, can move the ball around as far as getting runners, move their runners from second to third, hit fly balls to get them. Just because it's not old school baseball. There's another thing I've talked to many people about. They're like, well, yeah, you know, it's baseball's baseball. You're trying to win at the end of the game. Last out, you got more runs than the other team. I don't care how you get it done. When someone stepped in and started saying, well, you should do it this way, or you should pitch this way, or you should, you know, use the sticky foreign substance to get a better curveball, you still have to throw strikes. You still have to understand, you know, pitching to contact in a certain situation, because there's times when you're one pitch from getting out of a bad situation, like bases loaded, one out, you're still one pitch away from getting out of this situation. So don't panic. There's no reason to panic. But it seemed like along the way in the last 20 years, someone got some really smart people in a room and said, hey, how can we kind of like reinvent this sport? How can we make it, let's streamline it. So, okay, you don't need batting average anymore. You don't need on base. Two things that were basically sold to me as a professional in the minor leagues. Listen, you need to hit for average. You need to have on base percentage, which means you don't want to strike out. Okay, somewhere that got flipped. It's okay to strike out, and it's okay not to consistently make contact with the bat. When you do make contact, we want it to go 450 feet. I don't get that, because that was the 80s way of the American League. That's the way many of these teams were built back then. You had some good speed at the top of the lineup. Your 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys were all low average hitting home run guys. Then we came up with some cool machines that can give you exit velocity, can give you velocity, can track the rotation of a baseball. None of this is new. It's just a new way to present it to you. And when they started putting it on TV, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was always suspect about, well, these guys are still getting racked all over the field. If he's throwing 98, and I was a guy who threw 98, but I pitched to contact. I pitched so that you'd hit my outside fastball to my Hall of Fame shortstop, and we'd get you out. It was pretty simple, cut and dry stuff. But putting a new like spin on it, and I'm not trying to be funny or coy, I don't care what the velocity is. Is he hitting the location? I actually do like when they show you where the ball is and where that is. That's some of the stuff these machines I love, because that I can bring back to the kid that I'm teaching. Listen, you're hitting that spot a lot, okay? But I need you to hit this spot over here and this one and this one. So in these four quadrants, let's try to get the breaking ball over here against a righty off his back foot. Let's throw this changeup off a righty over in this. So a lot of what the Rapsodo machine does and what these hit tracks and the Hitman and all these different things can teach is only so much. At the end of the day, you have to execute. And the execution on the Yankees this year so far has been horrible. And it's not just the hitters, it's the base runners, the base running, the situational baseball, knowing where to throw the ball, not being able to hit the cutoff man, not being able to throw one hop to the catcher or throw it to second base to throw run. That's all baseball stuff that I don't care how you spin the jargon. When you're not executing, you're not playing baseball. So I can't blame Aaron Boone, or can I? Can I blame him for bad defense? Yeah, I can, if he's listening to people that are putting people in the wrong position. Let's say Garrett Cole's throwing 98 away, and you're playing the guy to pull. You're defeating the whole system here because you want to put people in a position to field that pitch. If it's hit, if it's not pulled and it's hit the other way and your defense is shifting a certain way, who am I going to blame? Am I going to blame analytics people that have no names to me? Or am I going to blame Aaron Boone? I'm going to blame Aaron Boone. And he's taking the brunt of it right now. Brian Cashman has to either sit down with Hal Steinbrenner and say, hey, listen, Hal, we either stop listening 100% of the time to these analytics people, or we use a little bit of everything, or we're going to be embarrassed at the end of the year. We're going to be under 500. We're going to be right with the Baltimore Orioles as far as people that are upset with us because we're not playing baseball. How are we going to turn this away and around? I saw somebody throw out, well, we play the Rays 13 of the first 18 games coming out of the break. If you're the fourth place team and your team isn't changed by the All-Star break, you're not going to see anything different. What you're going to actually see is the Red Sox are better rested. The Rays are better rested. They're going to start getting some of their other players back, and they're going to bury the Yankees because they're going to want to bury the Yankees. Now, the Blue Jays, they just made a trade right now. They sent one of their players, I think, to the Texas Rangers for a couple of or the Royals for a couple of pitchers because they know we need better pitching in the second half of the season. So the fact that a team that's ahead of the Yankees is making moves before the trade deadline just shows me they can't pull the trigger on trades. And if I'm a GM on another team and I see the Yankees are down right now, I'm not going to try to help you. I don't want to give you something in return for Clint Frazier. I'm not going to give you two good pitchers or even good double-A pitchers for Gary Sanchez right now. I'm going to give you scraps. I'm going to give you pennies on the dollar. I don't want to help the Yankees right now. That's going to be a situation that's going to injure the Yankees moving forward, as everybody's going to love. They're down right now. They're a game over 500 right now. And everything shows me the last 10 games, they've only won three of them, that there's no reason for any other good team to trade with the New York Yankees.
When I look at the New York Yankees, at least for the last 5 years, especially being in this area and following them so closely, it does feel like they try to copy off of teams that have had some success. I feel like a lot of teams copied off the 2008 Kansas City Royals. Was 2008 or 2011?
It was around there when they had an amazing end of the game bullpen, but they won for 1 year.
1 year.
Maybe 2 years. I went to the World Series, I think 2 years, but they lost one of them.
But that formula, I think, is still being copycatted around the league. New York Yankees are definitely subscribing to it with their one inning per six, seven, eight, nine guys that they have. I think the analytics is a little bit different when it comes to the copying of the New York Yankees. I think the Yankees are more after the money ball aspect. I think when they see the Rays win and the A's, even though they don't win the full big one, when they see them winning divisions at the salary, at the payroll that they're winning at, that's when ownership gets involved and says, what gives? Why are we paying so much and we're not getting the same results as these two chumps, and they have nobody to show for it? I don't know where that fits into analytics of telling, all right, this guy can only do this, so let him only do that. And now Aaron Boone's moved into the equation. But I just, listen to KK, seeing the teams that are successful. When baseball players are allowed to be baseball players, even, the Dodgers, as much of an all-star team they have, each position is its own thing. Like, each guy has its own philosophy on how they play the position. Of course, there's shifts. Of course, there's tendencies to pay attention to. Of course, knowing that you got an 0-2 count against a right-handed batter and this pitch is going to go outside and probably going to be hard to catch up with, shade a little bit to your left. Like, that's baseball basics. And Mookie Betts can tell you that, and that's the way he plays. When baseball players are allowed to play baseball, when baseball managers are allowed to manage baseball, like, that sounds so cliche and stupid to say it means nothing, but really in this conversation it means so much, right? Because the cookie cutter, this guy, if he swings like this, 2 out of 10 times will hit a home run theory is not true. It's not 100% true. And even if it is 100% true, 2 of 10 is 200. That's not a good batting average. And it's like, it's not a winning formula for winning baseball games. Urshela has a 3-run home run. That's how they beat the Mets. Like, that's how they win baseball games. That's
like
their formula.
Like, your sixth best hitter in your lineup was the difference maker.
But it has no thought of an actual baseball game, of getting someone on, moving them.
That was the 80s philosophy.
Right.
Well, let's wait for the three-run home run. That's not 2021.
Right. But in this day and age, when you're trying to win with a lesser budget and having everything cookie cutter, not letting people play the game, then that's the results you're going to get. Like, it's no surprise that these are the results that they're getting with that formula.
They let Tanaka get old and CC Sabathia. They brought him. I love CC Sabathia, but you brought him back an extra year. You didn't need to. Tanaka should have been a guy that you traded 3 years ago.
But they gave him that time.
Like, I know
they gave him 5 years to think about it.
Exactly. And then you went out and got Paxton. Then you went and got Happ. And then you started bringing in over 30-year-olds or close to 30-year-old pitchers. You weren't bringing up your better minor league guys. Then when you did bring them up, Cessa. I told you this a couple years ago. Okay, these guys throw hard, but they're not getting a lot of swings and misses. And that was disturbing to me. So if you're going to have guys hitting to, your 95 or 97 mile an hour guys, at least have them hit the sinkers and hit ground balls. So now what do? Now you have to have good defensive players. Well, you did. At that point, you had Didi Gregorius. And then you Gleyber Torres, the second man. Gleyber Torres is not a shortstop. We've told you this for 3 months. And what have you done? You have not replaced him. You've tried to move guys around and shuttle pieces. Listen, Gio Urshela was a find. He's a Gold Glove third baseman who's actually hitting a little bit.
Yeah,
that was great. Okay, but you can't put Andujar in left field. He's not an outfielder. So you can't make experiments like that while the season's going on. Clint Frazier's slow. He dives for a lot of balls because he's not a good outfielder. So what are you doing? You're trying to, we're trying to get this guy in the lineup. We're putting him in right field and left field, which, by the way, in this day and age, you need good outfielders because a lot of these pitchers on your staff are fly ball guys. So you've got a bunch of fly ball guys that are out there. You've got Gardner's old. He's got old legs. Andujar's not an outfielder. He's in left field. When Frazier's in right field, that's your outfield. That's not conducive to running down a lot of balls in the gaps, which a lot of these other teams hit that you're facing. The Red Sox, a lot of gap hitters. Rays, a lot of gap hitters. Blue Jays, a lot of gap hitters. Even the Orioles, when they play them, a lot of gap hitters. That is not easy for you to defend. So I can't just look at this pitching staff and go, well, if we change these three guys in the rotation, we're going to be much better. No, because you have to have a defense that goes with this. When I look at the Dodgers and you look at or the Giants, even the Padres, they're all plus minus teams. Plus 104. Their pitching and defense for the Giants right now is what's winning the day. They've allowed 309 runs. That pitching staff? Who the hell's on that pitching staff, right? Yeah, Kevin Gausman and a bunch of guys that when they were not aligned with good defensive teams and not in the type of ballpark that was conducive to what they have. Padres, huge pitching ballpark. Dodgers, really good pitcher's ballpark. And then you got the Giants, good pitcher's ballpark. All of those teams are pitching dominant, bullpen dominant, defense dominant, and yes, we're going to score 4 or 5 runs a game. Those are your three teams that are leading their division. They're all over 50 wins. And if you look at them, 413 runs scored for the Giants, 309 allowed. Dodgers, 432 runs scored, 312 allowed. Padres, 402 runs scored, 318 allowed. They don't have $35 million a year pitchers. They have just good enough starters to go six. Then they have a good enough bullpen. If they have the lead, they're going to win a high percentage of their games. I don't want to even say that they're well built. They're built for their ballparks. They're built for their pitching staffs. And they build their defense and offense around those things, the nucleus. And if you look at what they did, now we brought up Aaron Judge in the first hour. Okay, you either pay him or you don't. But Tatis Jr. had 146 games played in the major leagues. They paid him $340 or whatever they paid him. They said, you know what? We want to get that part of the equation out of there because we brought in Hosmer for a bunch of money. We brought in Machado for a bunch of money. We don't want to talk about money for the next 5 to 10 years. What we want to talk about is the nucleus of this team we're going to build around. And that's what they're doing, and that's why they're winning. Because there's no pressure on, are you going to pay him? Are you not going to pay him? Are you going to pay him? Are you not going to pay him? The same thing with the Red Sox. The Red Sox actually said, you know what our problem is? We're worried about whether or not we're going to pay Mookie Betts or Benintendi or Jackie Bradley. We got rid of all of that. You got rid of that worry, and now guys are just, like you just said, brilliantly, let them be ball players. The Padres let their team be a ball team. The Dodgers, they're a ball club. The Giants, they're a ball club. They you don't have all these things hanging over them all the time. The Yankees, everything we talk about is something hanging over them. Analytics, Aaron Judge's salary. Are you going to pay Torres? Are you going to pay this guy? I mean, when you have all of these questions as they show up at the park, and then you don't have a definitive leader on your team, and I'm talking about Aaron Boone. I love Aaron, but he's not the guy that sets the tone every day because they know someone above him is pushing the buttons. So that's a problem. Then you don't have a guy that's going to come in here and go, guys, this is brutal. We're better than this. Now, Aaron Judge tried to say something. I don't see him as the team leader because he never gets angry. None of these guys get angry. You need some anger and some angst to go in there and try to get this team on the same page. When your manager's not in charge, when there's not a captain of this team, and since Derek Jeter left, they have not had anybody that can steer this ship in the right direction.
When I look at this team, honestly, they know what they have. Like, it's not analytic baseball nerd science. When you have the ballpark that they have, and you have no left-handed batters?
No. That ballpark, right center field, is a home run. Johnny Damon hit 19 home runs in 1 year at Yankee Stadium when it was first built.
If
Johnny Damon can do that,
right.
Any guy that is a line drive lefty power guy is going to hit 20 home runs a year at Yankee Stadium.
That's looking Cashman right in the face. Like, that's a Cashman problem.
That's a Cashman problem.
When you don't have a left-handed bat in that ballpark. All right, you brought up Tanaka and CeCe, and what I'm saying with these two, they bought Cashman an extra 2 years.
Yeah.
That was not there.
Yep.
All of this stuff is not, whoa, what do we do because we didn't expect this.
Been happening for the last 5 years.
You knew that this is all laid out for you. You had so much time to work on that rotation, to work on that back end, yep. And you got Kluber on a 30-pitch tryout, and you paid $300 million to a guy that's struggling to get people out without
spider attack. You got Tyon, who was hurt, who's coming back. You got him.
But Ottavino is now on the Red Sox staff.
Doing well, by the way.
And they've got our...
John's giving the thumb up.
It's for real. It's no surprise. I'm not surprised of where we are with the New York Yankees right now, and I'm not surprised that they have no answers of how they're going to get out of this.
No, and I'm not going to try to slam this guy, but you brought in a high school pitching coach to handle the pitchers, and I guarantee most of those guys laugh at this dude.
It's a Cashman problem, too.
That's another Cashman problem. You bring in a Mel Stottlemyre or Dave Duncan, or you got rid of Larry Rothschild, who, by the way, San Francisco Giants pitching coach, Larry Rothschild.
That explains.
Or is it the Padres? I can't. It's one of those two.
I got to find this out. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's a gut punch.
Yeah. So the guy you got rid of, his pitching staff is one of the best in baseball. Your pitching staff with the Yankees is scuffling right now.
San Diego,
yeah. Thank you.
So. God. Man, like, he's got it. Think of his staff he's got to work with this time around versus what he was dealing with. Jeez, man, nothing but aces on that.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got Freddie Coleman. Let's talk NBA. We got NBA Finals Game 1 tonight. We'll talk to Freddie Coleman next.